passage we're going through is don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young. And we used this skit. It was actually an impromptu skit. We just made it up last night or yesterday. And if you looked at it, Gwen, of course, was very positive, but she wasn't being negative towards the young kids. It was actually the young kids who were looking down upon themselves, which we tend to do sometimes as well. And being, of course, this youth service, we do want to address young people. But if you looked at the characters, each one of those characters were biblical characters. Like, well, what were the characters? I saw judo, I saw wrestling, I saw BMX. We used that sort of a display, of course, through the Olympics. But Noinoi represented King David. Why King David? Not because the outfit didn't fit, but his armor wouldn't fit. And when he had to fight the 10-foot Goliath, and he beat him, of course, that's David. He didn't believe he could do it. But God used him. Renzo, of course, if you knew this about Timothy, had stomach problems. We call that ulcers. And he had problems, of course, putting that ball around him. We had Brother Daryl, who was like Abraham, who thought he was too old, but God still used him. Looked at KK, maybe you didn't know about this, but Peter, he was afraid of death. And we had the two young, beautiful young girls, and we love that skit with the Laurens and the Laurens, the twin synchronized divers. They were, what were they? They were doubting each other. And who were those characters in the Bible? Anybody know? Thomas, very good. And the other one was Gideon. And other people who doubted, of course. And so forth. You had Melanie, who was Amos, which is a really hard one, who trained in pruning fig trees. And Chad, of course, represented Martha, who was always worried. There's many other people we always think of, like Moses. Moses stuttered. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Moses was a murderer. Miriam was in gossip. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal, and Noah got drunk. And if you think about these people, if you think you can't be used by God, you're in good company. If you've ever gotten drunk, or if you've ever gotten suicidal or depressed, and you say, I'm not worthy because God, you know, I'm not very good. I worry a lot about death. You can't use me. I believe with all my heart God could use you. So let's open up our Bibles, if you can, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set as an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, purity. I'll read verse 13 as well. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. As we look up here, you can't really see it, but I'm just going to, of course, this being a youth service, talking to a lot of the young people. We obviously had a lot of young people sitting over here. All, of course, being young at heart, I hope and pray we all realize God still can use us. As we allow ourselves not to be looked down upon, a couple things I want to talk about. Speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. The first one I want to talk about, again, these are just five things that will help give us, we need to be good examples of these things. The first one is speech. We say, well, you know, I don't speak very well. Not that you stutter. And people say, well, I don't know God's word that well. I'm afraid that someone will contradict me or try to challenge me. As young people, when I was teaching high school, they would say, you know what, I don't know. Somebody says something about Jesus and they start using big words like eschatology, I don't know what to say. How do I defend that? That speech up there is not talking about the gospel speech. It's not saying that you need to know and understand what it is when Christ died on the cross, buried, crucified, dead and buried, crucified, risen and ascended into heaven on the third day he rose. He's not saying that type of speech. If you follow the passage very well, he's talking about the speech and manner in which you speak, that is your conversation, the way you communicate. He said you should be one of good understanding of the word. No, he's saying of good heart. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31 says. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. All these things, these are all negative things. Put it away. Go away. The other day, and this is hard for us all. Again, we all use certain words. Even I myself use words. Speech. The way we speak can hurt somebody. The way we speak can encourage somebody. The other day, Emily and I were doing some gardening, and we don't have green thumbs. But I love green grass. So I'm okay with that. We start to plant, and planting is hard. Start planting stuff, and they just die right away. So we're planting these. Here we are. We're planting in August. Makes sense, right? You're supposed to plant it, you know. So we're planting. Like, all right, and Tice is with us. And of course, I take out the potting soil, put it out, and Tice wants to help me out because he's helping. And I kind of turn around for about 30 seconds or so. And I don't know this, but Emily's saying something positive to Tice. And she's like, and what Tice is doing, he's getting the potting soil, he's throwing it just in the middle of the driveway. 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet. And I'm turned around. I didn't know what's going on. And Emily's like, good job, Tice. You're helping Daddy. You know, and she's very encouraging. And Tice said, because he always uses double pronouns. He goes, I do it, me. I do it, me. So he's doing that. So when I turn around, and this is what we do, right? We do this because we think very selfishly. Because who's going to have to clean that? Mommy's not cleaning it. Tice isn't cleaning it. I know I'm cleaning it. So I don't know this yet. So I'm like, oh, this is a great day. This thing's alive. I turn around. I said, oh, Tice. Does he look? Tice looking at mommy like, you're saying positive things, and you're looking. You're saying something. I could hear your voice. He could hear my voice. And you go, no, no, I'm sorry. We don't mean to do that, but we do. Our speech is something that can. Our speech can hurt people. So what he's saying here is, don't let anyone look down upon you, but be examples, young people, examples. Good speech. Good speech. What you say. Because when you go to school or when you go to work, you don't have to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They already know you're a Jesus freak. They look at you and you say the wrong words. They connote that to Jesus. How would I want to be like you? Because you have bad speech. I was encouraged yesterday. We had science group and what a bunch of wonderful people. I was so encouraged. Because I heard some great things. They want to change their speech. These young men were these men were all just doing their best. Just very encouraging to hear from here at church, at First Philippine Baptist Church, that they're all trying to change their speech. Wonderful opportunity to hear that. The second thing we have here, of course, is conduct. What is our conduct? In this particular case, it's the manner in which a person behaves. It's not what we say, but it's what we do. And we do all kinds of stuff that will change people's attitude. Crossing the arms. I don't want to hear that sermon. I don't want to hear this person. That's okay. I'm not. Just kidding. Shaking their head. You know, the brow changing and grinning. It's you. You don't have to say a word. Mouth tightening up. All right? Just all kinds of stuff. You know, you can even isolate yourself. Intentionally isolate yourself. Coming over here. These are conducts that you have. Even within our church, right? We do this. Sure, during fellowship lunch, you'll sit with the people you know. You'll isolate yourself from the people you don't know. This is a good conduct. Understand what this. In the Bible, you hear about really negative conducts. Times, of course. As I turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, as we even see up here, it says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual morality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and even envy, drunkenness, and orgies. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, God, and again, going back to that science group just yesterday, what a wonderful group. We recognize the things that we do, but yet we try to change them. The world is offering us many things. Our conduct is based upon how we, as I told you, like with Tice. Using Tice because he's just a funny kid. He does what I do, everything I do. And even does the things that the TV does. I got a fly swatter. He's like, I'm like, I don't do it that way, but for some reason he does that. But he doesn't watch very much TV, but when the Olympics were on, he watched a lot of TV because mommy and daddy watched a lot of TV. Puts his arms up like he's diving. And then one time, I don't know what he's doing, he's going like this. He's like, ready, go! He would watch the races. I mean, we didn't teach him these things. And if you have kids, you've seen this. We're influenced by a bunch of things. The media, everything on your cell phone. There's all kinds of internet stuff on there now. You don't have to have the computer. It's already on your phone. The TV. We're exposed to a lot of negative things. But as we hear here, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we hear these things, the Bible offers these things, but it offers different things. The Bible offers love. The world offers hate and anger and bitterness. The Bible offers joy. The world offers defeated, moping, and sulking. The Bible offers peace. Where in the world they offer disagreement and disharmony, fighting and war, even within ourselves. Patience, the Bible offers, but we're always anxious about many things. Kindness, faithfulness, the Bible offers, but we look at the world being harshness, meanness, being doubtful. Just a variety of different things that we look at in our lives. What is God trying to offer us? As we look at this passage of being turned to the next, again, we're looking at speech, conduct. He commands us and teaches, to ask us to teach these things. Be good examples, young people. Good examples. I'm going to talk about love and then faith and purity, not too much. Talk about love. Be good example. And many of us know about love, and we hear preach this all the time in Greek. We say, well, there's three types of Greek words in the classical Greek. We talk about phileo, agape, eros. Eros, of course, we know it's sort of an erotic love between a husband, one husband, and one wife, an intimacy, a sexual understanding. That's the type of love. And there's the phileo love, which we get the city of Philadelphia, which means what? Brotherly love. So it's a love between myself and Kui Sandy as brothers in Christ. I just love them dearly. Love. And there's agape love. And we always hear this one, like, oh, that's the unconditional love. It's deeper than that. This is a deep love that I believe as young people, and even all of us, can understand. We go deeper. Understand, God loves us. He's within our hearts. If the Holy Spirit, who is He, by the way, not a power, just the power, but it's He, God who is within you, working in you. If He's working in you, He's in you. Wonderful thing. We should tap into that love that He has. That's that inner beauty. Remember what I said about the word beauty? Beauty, you know, Halle Berry one time said, and I remember reading it somewhere, saying that, you know what, I wasn't voted to be the one of the beautiful people, but I was still exposed to every problem that it's not a physical beauty, that inner beauty that you hear about. Listen to this passage. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, braided hair, gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Your inner self, your spirit. Inner self. About beauty. Again, beauty is not your physical aspect. When God talks about beauty in Psalm 27:4, He's talking about the beauty of satisfaction and pleasure. Beauty is satisfaction and pleasure. Let me say that again. Beauty is satisfaction and pleasure. Tell me something in this world that's beautiful, that's going to last forever, that will satisfy you, give you pleasure. Tell me, gold? satisfy you forever, the only beauty that I know that's going to satisfy you forever is God. And that inner beauty is already in you. You can tap that into that, as it says right there, a quiet spirit. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit it's talking about. It's talking about your spirit. It's not talking about your soul. Your soul is your mind. The spirit is from within you that we really don't even understand. As a matter of fact, we probably don't even understand how to talk to. You have it. Every single one of us has a spirit, little s spirit, and it wants to fellowship with the Holy Spirit who's within you. Isn't that wonderful? The great thing about that is they want a fellowship. The only problem is we never even heard of it. It's like, I know, I thought that was the soul. No, that's not. The soul is your mind. Your spirit is the pneuma, which is invisible. It's the inside of you. It's the quiet spirit. That's the inner beauty. You can tap into that. Understand peace that surpasses all understanding. If you try to think about it, you're talking to your soul. If you try to have emotions about it, you're talking about your soul, your spirit, your pneumatos, which is your invisible aspect of you. Did you know you had it? Did you know you had it? That's the love to set example for. That is what is amazing. Your inner man, your inner beauty, your innermost man, as it says in Psalms. Innermost beauty wants fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let me just talk about these last two, faith and purity. Faith, of course, as young people, we need to definitely understand faith. Of course, many of us understand the faith of coming to the cross. But you have to have faith after you accept Christ. You're like, what? I'm done. No, you're not done. I've already accepted Christ. I'm done. No, you're not done. Because one of these days, your parents may have cancer. One of these days, you may lose a job. Your mom may lose a job. They may get sick. They may have problems. Do you have faith? Is there still faith? See, we got to understand how to use faith. There's that, well, I just want to have faith to go to heaven. Is that all you want faith for? You just want to go to heaven? I said, no, I'm going to challenge you, my friend. I'm going to challenge you. There'll be difficulties in your life. Maybe as the older people look at, there are difficulties in life, and guess what they have to do? They have to work out their salvation, trembling and fear. They have to work out their God says this to us in the book of James. Work out your faith. It's a testing of your... Something's going to happen to you, promise. It's not a bad thing. Don't be like, praise the Lord. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You say that? Do you ever say that? Do you ever say, oh, I'm ready for bad things? No, you don't. But I get who said that in the Bible? I think it was James. Consider it pure joy, my friends, when you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy? You're telling me, Pastor Rick, that I should be encouraged when I know that my mom and dad are going to die? I didn't say that. My mom and dad already died, but I know how to consider it joy because he gave me the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to you. You will be challenged. Your faith will be tested. You see, we got to go beyond our faith. We say, well, I love Jesus. There's no question about that. He accepted him, but he's still going to test your faith. People say, well, Jesus is supposed to be with me. I accepted Jesus. How come he's not here with me anymore? He's with you. He's testing your faith. He's not hurting you. He's testing your faith. It's okay. It's okay to go through difficulty. It's okay to change your career, no jobs. It's okay when your child, unfortunately, falls down and gets hurt. You know, my child fell last week and hit the curb last week right on his face. Broke my heart. But what it made me do? I'm walking into church and I'm thinking, I'm not even thinking of Jesus. I start praying. I need to be prepared. It's like an eye awakening. What happened in our lives? You got to understand. Loneliness, maybe see death. It's a wonderful testimony that I got married at 38. I wish I got married early, but no. Had I not done that, I wouldn't have struggled so long. 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, I want to get married now. 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 31, 32. Yeah, I got married at 38. That's great. That's really, really young compared to this lady on CNN who got married at 70. Guess who walked her down the aisle? Her dad. And her mom was still alive. Now, I don't know where they went to their honeymoon, but, you know, whatever, I don't know. Just talk about a long time of waiting. So if you're single, hey, look, do you really trust God? Not really, because I'm done. I'm just going to go to heaven now. He's not done with you. He's not done with you. Brother Daryl, he's not done with you. You're not too old. Do BMX if you want. You can do BMX. And of course, purity. We already know, we just mentioned that. Just being beyond reproach. We preach this quite a bit. Don't be unrighteous. Be in this understanding of be beyond reproach. That means don't find anyone find fault in you. Let me close with these two things. How many people here? Pastor D, which is really cool. I didn't ask Pastor D to do this. He had all these young people come down over here. I didn't know he was going to do that. But if you're under 25, first of all, if you're under 25 years old, just stand up, would you? Stand up. I see all these young people. Praise the Lord. Now, go ahead and sit down. Go ahead and sit down. You know why? This message was not for you. You are not the young people that the Bible here is talking about. This message, when you read it properly, when it says something to the effect, don't let anyone look down upon you, Timothy, because you're young, he's not talking to these young kids. Now, if you're 25 to 40, raise your hand. No shame. That'll make you stand up, because they would stand up. I know y'all wouldn't stand up. Like, I'm not standing up. I know these kids, they look, I make them jump, they'll jump. 25 to 40 again, don't be scared. Let me see your elbows. Here we go. You are the Timothys. This message is for you. This is the Timothy age he's talking about. You is what he's saying. Don't let anyone look down upon you. You command these. You teach these. You don't have to be up here to preach. You just have to have good conduct, good speech. Because Timothy was the age between around 28 to about 39. He was talking to Timothy because he was the young man. Paul was old. He was in his 60s. And Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, young man, you're 35 years old. Don't let anybody look down upon you, son. No. Boy, I know Ian's here somewhere. I know I saw him. Come up here, Ian. You stand right there. That's fine. You can face me. I don't want you to be embarrassed. It's always uncomfortable up here. Trust me. Like, what am I doing up here? I did ask him to come up here. I said, it's all right. But you should. Praise Him. One of the first youth that I came out here, I was probably 16 years old, came to Christ at that age, 2004, went to camp. He said, yeah, you know, Christ really worked my heart. I didn't see Him for about 6 or 7, 8 years or so, right? He's doing everything under the sun, whatever, under the world. I don't see any church things. And as of late, He's been coming back to church. As of late, I didn't tell Him to come. I tested Him. Like, would He come back to church? I want to see. Will He come back to church? It's His heart. It's God's working in Him. How old are you? 25. To Timothy right here. I'm not speaking to these young people here. I'm speaking to Timothy. Don't let anybody look down upon you because you're young. But set as an example to the who? To the believers. Look, I'm not setting, and I'm only using it as a prop. I'm not, Paul's not telling him to go out to the world, to the non-believers. He's saying, go right there behind you. See all these people right here? Those are your believer friends. Set an example to what? As your speech, your conduct, your faith, your love, your purity. He needs to set an example of the believers to the believers. Because he's a believer. The passage he's talking to is that young man, just like any young man who's sitting and listening, going, you know what, I am. I'm about that age. I'm a believer, and I need to talk to, set an example to other believers. Because you know what, I am? They're all watching you. You guys are watching people. I know you guys all know each other. You guys are all looking at each other like, oh, he's an example. We're all here, young.
for all young people, if you really think about it.
As I mentioned, Brother Darryl, and I say this sincerely, you know, Brother Darryl, by the way, thank you, Brother Darryl. Brother Darryl did not even practice a skit with us. I just called him up and said, can you do something for me? You did a wonderful job. Thank you. Now, I wish he was between 25 and 40. But he's still a young man. But you know what? Each and every single one of us is that man over there. You're in good company. You really are. You say, God, you can't use me because I'm too old, because I've been drunk, because I've fallen away. You can't use me, Lord. You can't use me because I doubt a lot. God could use you. You just keep doing what God has you to do. And for you kids right here going back to school next week, for you going back to college, He's going to use you. If you're a believer in Christ, He's already using you. And if you're a parent back there and you haven't been to church for a long time, or you're hurting or whatever, and you haven't been doing, you don't know the gospel very well, He's using you in your speech. I promise you this. When you go back to work, in your conduct, God is using you. Whether you like it or not, He's using you. I wanted to encourage you. Don't let anybody look down upon you. And like the skid did, don't look down upon yourself. Because our self-esteem is so low already, because the world teaches us all the negative things. I'm not worthy. God's saying, you are worthy. I want to use you. I love you. And as we sit here, what we're doing, like a little puppy dog who accidentally bit my leg, who I love dearly, I'm ready to hit. No, I'm not ready to hit. I'm saying, it's okay. I know you accidentally bit me. Each and every one of us are like that little puppy dog. We have our tail tucked in, and as we come to God, we go, Lord, are you mad at me? You don't like me, do you? I'm going to go walk out that door because you can't use me. It's like, no, I could use you. I love you. I really do. Don't let anybody look down upon you because you're young. Don't let anybody look down upon you because of all the past mistakes you've had. But set an example to believers. Set that example, guys. You guys are examples. You don't have to be up here to preach. Take your speech. You can speak to more people than I can speak to. Each and every single one of you talk to people at work, they're watching you. Multiplied by 200 people, you probably see maybe 50 people every day. It's an amazing thing. Use you. And He is using you. Don't tuck your tail and get scared. Come to God. He loves you, no matter all your mistakes. He already knows your mistakes. Lord, Heavenly Father, as we pray, I'm going to open this up for you. If you want to come up here, you don't have to. If you want to come to Christ, Pastor D will come up here. At the Cecil people will just speak to you. If you don't know what it is to be a Christian, just ask people. Just come up here. If you feel like there's a tug in your heart, like God's saying, you know what? You do want to use me, Lord. Thank you. You're more than welcome to come up here in the altar. No, you know, as a matter of fact, if you don't want no one to talk to, you just want to pray, just pray. Then go ahead and just pray. Just say, I just want to pray by myself right now. You can do that. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. Let us all rise. Shall we all stand in your presence, Lord, Heavenly Father, in your reverence, in our reverence for you, that is, Lord, Heavenly Father. We love you. We thank you. We praise you and forgive us, Lord. Maybe we think we're too old. Maybe we've never been married. We can't be used. But Lord, Heavenly Father, remind us that you can use us. And we say thank you. As we hear this message, as dearly beloved, as the title says, it says to you, it's speaking to you saying, dear loved one, dear my believer, you, dear beloved, I speak to you. God speaks to you. And he says, dear beloved, I love you. Let me work into your heart. Just come close to me. Thank you, Lord, Heavenly Father. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. High above all the earth.
Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God.
Sing, I exalt thee.
And I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods.
For thou, O Lord,
for thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods.
Sing it out.
I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, I exalt.
Sing, we exalt thee, we exalt thee.
And we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, O Lord.
One more time.
We oh.